Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We've been looking at the 40th anniversary of the Jim Jones suicide in Guyana. And we've been looking at different elements. We've been looking through the eyes of a survivor that I was able to hear locally speak some time ago. Laura Johnson Cole was her name. And then we also looked at a book by Daniel Flynn and some of the articles related to Harvey Milk and the Democrats in California in their affiliation, or really, in a sense, metaphorically being in bed with Jim Jones. And so we looked at some unknown facts, some inconvenient truths, if you will, concerning liberal Democrats in California during that period of time, over 40 years ago now. It was actually late in this year was the 40th anniversary. We're going on the 41st year now, I suppose, since we're in the new year. But I also wanted to actually do a little postscript to my look at Jonestown 40 years ago and that anniversary. I want to take a closer look at Harvey Milk, who of course was one of the Democrats who liberals who was in bed with Jim Jones, again metaphorically speaking, back in that day as he was an official in San Francisco. He's become pretty well known now. But anyway, I wanted to take a closer look at the 40th anniversary of Harvey Milk's assassination. I wanted to look at him via Hollywood's propaganda film called Milk, and then look at the facts that were left out of that movie. I watched the movie so that you don't have to. Not that you would want to. Actually, I felt like I needed to take a shower after watching it. It's disgusting format, information, material there, dealing with the whole homosexual epidemic. But as I say, we looked at that 40th anniversary in 2018 from, you know, of last year. It was 40 years. And then, of course, Harvey Milk, his assassination, so-called, and Mayor Moscone, who, of course, was in the administration in San Francisco that Harvey Milk was a supervisor under. I want to look at several sources concerning the movie Milk, and also Milk himself, from a few sources, secular sources, Christian sources, and even gay sources, to get a better picture of the deceptions involving Harvey Milk. You know, we've looked at, as I say, Jim Jones and all the main deceptions that were involved there. But I want to take a little bit bigger look, closer look, at Harvey Milk. There's a lot of information there that you may or may not know of. And let's just see, this first article is Jonestown Got Milk by Will Savive. And this is actually from a website. I believe that this is a group, you know, that is part of the homosexual lifestyle. But it was interesting. That's what makes this article and the next one following quite interesting to me, because though they would have been approving of Harvey Milk in many ways and the movie, this is what this author had to say. He says, "I was excited to see the movie Milk when I heard about it. Not only because it starred Sean Penn, one of my favorite actors, but and not only because Harvey Milk was a pivotal figure in the civil rights movement for gays, but I wanted to see how they would handle Milk's connection to Jim Jones. Unfortunately, the movie made no mention of Jones or Jonestown." Of course, I noticed that when I watched the movie, as I kind of assumed they probably wouldn't say much about that, because this was a puff piece. This movie was meant to glorify and deify Harvey Milk. It says, "The fact is that Harvey Milk and San Francisco Mayor George Moscone both had an affiliation with People's Temple. Moreover, it is widely known that Jim Jones and his followers were instrumental getting Moscone elected as mayor of San Francisco. In return, the mayor appointed Jones to the San Francisco Housing Authority." And of course, we went over a little of that And, you know, in our earlier studies, in my earlier podcast. Now, the next article is entitled, Research on Harvey Milk Renews Calls for Reappraisal of People's Temple, by Michael Bellefontaine. Again, this is from a gay source, this particular website. And this is actually called Alternative Considerations of Jonestown and People's Temple, is what this site is entitled. But the article, the last article, Jonestown Got Milk, and Research on Harvey Milk Renews Call for Reappraisal of People's Temple. Harvey Milk's name appears throughout San Francisco. A municipal railway station and plaza, a park and recreation building, and one of the city's most influential political clubs are all named in his memory. A local elementary school is known as the Harvey Milk Civil Rights Academy, and the Eureka Valley Library is now called the Harvey Milk Branch. The theme for this year's Gay Pride, and I think this was around 2014, this article, I'm not 100% sure, but anyway, the theme for this year's Gay Pride Parade was Give Them Hope. Milk's inspirational rallying cry from gays and lesbians in San Francisco to their brothers and sisters living in rural America. The International Gay and Lesbian Historical Society is producing an extensive exhibit of Milk memorabilia, which includes the blood-stained suit he was wearing when he and George Moscone were gunned down in San Francisco City Hall on November 27, 1978. 25 years after his murder, Harvey Milk has been catapulted to the level of gay martyr. As the first openly gay man elected in California and one of the most prominent gay men in America, Milk's murder galvanized a politically fractured and fledgling queer community. Longtime political opponents of Milk, and there were many, suppressed their deep-seated negativity, joined with Milk supporters, and over time fashioned a deified image of him, as is evidenced by the Gay Historical Society's exhibit, which is titled Saint Harvey. When Milk and Moscone were killed, San Franciscans were still reeling from the murder of Representative Leo Ryan and the news that hundreds of Jonestown residents previously thought to have saved themselves by running into the jungle were apparently willing participants in a suicide ritual. In the aftermath of their murders, all mention of connections between Milk, Moscone, and Jones were intentionally obscured. Out of respect for the politicians, their followers took all necessary steps to sever Milk and Moscone from the pariah Jones. It was not the only mass exodus of political support in the wake of the Jonestown tragedy. Politicians who once enjoyed volunteers, donations, and votes from People's Temple could not distance themselves from Jim Jones fast enough. Many of these people are still in politics today. The article goes on to say, Jim Jones was a master manipulator who used unwitting local politicians to gain power for himself. The politicians, including Milk and Moscone, used Jones for volunteers and votes while remaining personally distant and blissfully unaware of rumors of temple violence, abuse, theft, and even murder. However, upon closer introspection, it is clear that Harvey Milk was a strong advocate for People's Temple and Jim Jones during his political career, including the tumultuous year leading up to the Jonestown tragedy. Milk spoke at the temple often, wrote personal letters to Jim Jones, contacted other elected officials on the temple's behalf, and used space in his weekly column to support the works of the temple, even after the negative New West article went to press. Milk appeared in the pages of the People's Forum, the temple newspaper, and received over 50 letters of sympathy from the residents of Jonestown when his lover, Jack Lira, killed himself in September 1978. Of course, the movie talks about that, his homosexual lover committing suicide. It says, enough time has passed since Milk's brutal murder to reanalyze this relationship, to explore how and why Harvey Milk supported People's Temple. As people who hold Milk in high esteem, and this is, of course, like I say, the gay authors of this, the author of this article, we should honestly and openly explore and reevaluate what we know about People's Temple to see what it was about the church that appealed to Milk. Whatever the reason, Harvey Milk irrefutably supported People's Temple. it may be understandable why in November 1978 the supporters of Milk would attempt to distance the newly martyred supervisor from the still unfolding horrors of Jonestown. However, we as witnesses, historians, researchers, and writers have an obligation to tell future generations the whole truth as we understand it, to record as much documentation as possible, and let the biases and subsequent interpretations transform over time. This article was last modified on March 14, 2014. And so you see in these two articles, there's a real concern about Milk's connection to the People's Temple and Jim Jones. I don't think there's concern about some of the other problems with the movie as far as truth, as untruths, or omissions, etc., that were involved in the movie, as we will see as I move to other articles. The next article is called Got Milk, and you know, probably remember the advertisement for Milk, you know, Got Milk. Well, somebody thought they'd be creative and say Got Milk as they reviewed the movie, and this is from the National Review. Gus Van Sant's new movie is well cast, beautifully filmed, Oscar-bound, and mediocre. It says The Hollywood Reporter sparked furor with a story claiming that Focus Features, the studio releasing Milk, was eschewing publicity for the gay-themed movie because it was afraid the Prop 8 controversy would hurt the film's chances, a claim that prompted an angry denial from Focus head James Shamus, the producer of Brokeback Mountain. And by the way, James Shamus, he left the that Focus Studios, Focus Feature Studio in 2013. And he was, and you know, before I get ahead of myself, Proposition 8 was a California proposition which was defeated, not by the will of the people, because the people actually voted for it. You know, they wanted the proposition, but it was an activist judge that really removed this from law. It was a travesty, and I recall it very well as I was living in California at the time. Or actually, it was shortly after I left California. I take that back. But anyway, it's interesting to me that this man, James Shamus, who produced both homosexual promoting type movies, the Brokeback Mountain and then Milk, he was honored by GLAAD, which is a homosexual group, with a Golden Gate Award in 2008. GLAAD stands for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and I would say that GLAAD is a word, you know, it's really an, you know, well, it's meant to be a word, right? GLAAD, sort of like gay. I think that the homosexual community in using words like, you know, GLAAD for their organization here, or gay, these are real misnomers. There's nothing really gay or happy about the homosexual lifestyle. It's a destructive lifestyle. Nothing glad about it. Nothing to be glad about. It will lead to, ultimately, it leads to condemnation. It leads to destruction. Unrepentant homosexuals will go to the same place that unrepentant non-homosexuals go to, and that's a life of eternal suffering in hell by rejecting God and His free gift of pardon through Jesus Christ. But I think better words, you know, because gay and glad, as I say, are really misnomers. I think better words would be bondage or darkness. because unfortunately, and it's a sad thing that these folks are in bondage and in darkness and need our prayers, of course. And, you know, in dealing with a controversial topic like this, Harvey Milk and the whole homosexual movement, I certainly don't want to come across as being unsympathetic towards human beings who are in a lost condition or a lost state, because I was once in a lost condition. I wasn't a homosexual, but I was in a lost condition, and my sins were going to drive me, you know, to the ultimate judgment of God. And so God gave me a lot of grace, and has given me a lot of grace in my life. And so I don't want to come across as someone who doesn't care about people, all people that are lost. People need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know Him as the only way to salvation, according to Him. Milk, like Brokeback Mountain, is another movie from the same movie studio. I said, seeking to normalize homosexual perversion. And then, of course, now we have the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, which I haven't seen, don't plan on seeing it, but are certainly not supporting it with my money, with a ticket. But anyway, of course, I'm pretty sure that this is the story, of course, of Queen, and the homosexual lead singer that died of AIDS, etc. Again, to try to normalize homosexual perversion is the intent of Hollywood, as always. So, anyway, to go on in this article, and just to back up, it says, the Hollywood Reporter sparked furor because it was afraid the Prop 8 controversy would hurt the film's chances, and now James Shamus prompted an angry denial. In other words, there was a lot of debate pre-release about whether the film had a sufficiently political agenda. Well, it does. The entire last act centers on Harvey Milk's activism against Proposition 6, a 1978 initiative which would have banned gay teachers in California schools. So moving on in the article. So Milk is a highly charged political film which seems to have distracted people from asking more relevant questions. Is it a good movie? Does it fairly represent Harvey Milk's life and accomplishments? The answer to those questions are maybe and absolutely not, respectively. The strength of the film's performances and the zeal that has greeted the film's politics seem to have distracted everyone from noticing that the script is remarkably weak. Screenwriter Dustin Lance Black, a former Mormon who's now out and proud, is a hot Hollywood commodity on the strength of Milk, and it boggles the mind why. The film borrows most of its structure centering on the real-life tape-recorded message Milk left behind in the event that he was killed from the 1984 documentary The Life and Times of Harvey Milk. The film repeatedly speculates, without any evidence whatsoever, that Milk's financially ruined and mentally unstable assassin is a closeted homosexual. In describing motive, its plot resorts to a tiresome and baseless pop culture meme that anyone opposed to homosexuality or even to a story's gay protagonists must be a closet case, in other words, a closet homosexual themselves. The script sidesteps any and all moral dilemmas that may arise from examining, well, the life and times of the Harvey Milk, a man who was as polarizing as he was charismatic. The life and times of the Harvey Milk is the emphasis of this article. Milk is less a biopic than a hagiography, which is unfortunate. Even a cursory examination of Harvey Milk's life confirms that he was hardly a saint, and a film seeking to emphasize Milk's positive achievements need not sacrifice its integrity in this regard. Because the film is so myopically focused on justifying Milk's political crusades, it doesn't begin to get at who exactly Milk was as a person. Even with the focus on Milk's political accomplishments, the film still runs from the truth. Still runs from the truth. See, I like this article. One of Milk's signature issues was encouraging gay men and women to come out. He felt that if more Americans realized they had personal relationships with homosexuals, it would advance their cause. The film includes a tense scene where Milk pressures a friend into going into the next room to call his father and come out. Later, Milk's former lover chastises him for being a hypocrite, as he never came out to his mother while she was alive. But the film passes over in silence. Just a second. Here we go. Sorry. But the film passes over in silence an infamous outing episode in Milk's life. In 1975, while President Ford was visiting San Francisco, Sarah Jane Moore attempted to shoot the president. A bystander, a former Marine named Oliver Sipple, grabbed her arm and her shot hit the pavement, possibly saving the president's life. Milk knew Sipple. He was the former lover of one of Milk's former lover, Joe Campbell, and Milk wanted to out him. In other words, he wanted him to come out as a homosexual, hoping that Sipple's heroism would burnish the gay image. Sipple was openly gay, and he participated in gay pride events, but he asked Milk not to out him in the wake of his heroic act. Milk did it anyway, and Sipple eventually sued the San Francisco Chronicle for invasion of privacy. The film barely acknowledges how questionable many of Milk's tactics were, which is odd considering that the ethics of outing are still hotly debated in the gay community today. Instead, Milk portrays its protagonist as someone who did nothing but help people. You know, and I definitely got that from the movie. He just did nothing. He was such a hero. With barely a nod to how abrasive and self-serving he could be. Every time Milk the man gets in the way of Milk the political message, moral ambiguities and inconvenient facts get steamrolled. Milk, the movie, presents one version of events for viewers to accept or reject. And since the film suggests that Harvey Milk was an angel and everyone opposed to him or to gay rights is a closet case or a crazy fundamentalist, well, good luck winning people over. It goes on. It says, the March Oscar ceremony will doubtless be an insufferable parade of moral superiority as the movie industry lets America know that it voted for Milk as a statement against the rubes who voted for Proposition 8. But in the end, and I love this, Hollywood doesn't speak for America. And that is so true. They don't seem to ever understand that, but that's because they're elitists. And they believe that, you know, anybody who doesn't believe what they believe is wrong, even though they're, of course, in the tiny minority. But that's Hollywood. So, anyway, there's some examples from the movie versus reality in Milk's life. But let's go on a little further. Here's an article called The Truth About Harvey Milk. And this is written by Lori Higgins. It's from the IllinoisFamily.org education. And it says it shouldn't surprise anyone that President Barack Obama invited the obscene, Christian-hating, homosexual man-boy Dan Savage to the White House. After all, President Obama's Safe School Czar was the homosexual founder of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, Kevin Jennings, and Obama awarded a Presidential Medal of Freedom posthumously to the infamous homosexual Harvey Milk, who was deified in the Hollywood film Milk. And why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing it up because May 22nd is Harvey Milk Day in California, yet another abuse of public schools to advance the moral beliefs of homosexuals and their ideological allies. Now, this is written, of course, in May of 2012, so this article is a little bit older. Goes on to say, why am I bringing this up? Okay, well, I'm also bringing it up. Oh, I'm sorry. There are few reasons to be thankful. There are a few reasons to be thankful to live in Illinois, but this is one. We don't yet have a law proclaiming a day of commemoration for Harvey Milk in our public schools. And, of course, I wrote in parentheses, not yet. And, of course, I haven't checked the records. Who knows what's going on now? That was in 2012 when this was written. But anyway, it says, I'm also bringing it up because many have seen or heard of the eponymous, that's quite a word, film about Harvey Milk and starring Sean Penn, but may not know how far from reality the film's depiction of Milk is. In 2009, then-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed SB 572 into law. This law, introduced by openly homosexual Senator Mark Leno, designates May 22nd as having special significance in public schools and educational institutions and would encourage those entities to conduct suitable commemorative exercises on that date. And why do liberal California lawmakers consider May 22nd significant in public schools? They believe that children in grades K through 12 should commemorate annually the birthday of the first openly gay man to be elected to public office in a major city of the United States, who was murdered by a disgruntled colleague. The law states that all public schools and educational institutions are encouraged to observe and to conduct suitable commemorative exercises as follows. On Harvey Milk Day, exercises remembering the life of Harvey Milk, recognizing his accomplishments, and familiarizing pupils with the contributions he made to this state. Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council says this about the man whom Obama and Schwarzenegger think should be honored. Milk is famous only for winning one election, being murdered, and having sex with men. And it wasn't just adult men with whom Milk had sex. Sprigg recounts that Milk was also fond of teenage boys. In fact, one of his live-in relationships was a pederastic relationship, and we'll get around to what that term means if you're not familiar with it, with a 16-year-old boy when Milk was 33. Yes, I can understand why Obama wanted to honor him, and Schwarzenegger thinks children should commemorate him. I think that's a bit of sarcasm by Laurie Higgins there. According to Daniel Flynn, of course, he's the author of Cult City that we've looked at before, the real Harvey Milk was a short-tempered demagogue who cynically invented stories of victimhood to advance his political career. And contrary to the implication in the film, Milk was not murdered because of his homosexuality, but rather because he was instrumental in preventing a board of supervisors member from regaining his seat. And we'll get into that more in some of the other articles we have here. The most shocking omission from the film, and likely from the tall tales California public school teachers tell their young students, is that Harvey Milk was a huge supporter of Reverend Jim Jones. And we've talked about that more. We'll just touch on it a little bit more here. Milk occasionally spoke at Jones' San Francisco-based headquarters, promoted Jones through his newspaper columns, and defended the People's Temple from its growing legion of critics. Jones provided conscripted volunteers for Milk's campaigns to distribute leaflets by the tens of thousands. Milk returned the favor by abusing his position of public trust on behalf of Jones' criminal endeavors. Reverend Jones is widely known in the minority communities here and elsewhere as a man of highest character. This is quoting Harvey Milk. Reverend Jones is widely known in the minority communities here and elsewhere as a man of the highest character who has undertaken constructive remedies for social problems, which have been amazing in their scope and effectiveness. Supervisor Milk wrote to President Jimmy Carter 7 months before the Jonestown carnage. The purpose of Milk's letter was to aid and abet his powerful supporters' abduction of a six-year-old boy. Milk's missive to the president prophetically continued, not only is the life of a child at stake, who currently has loving and protective parents in the Reverend and Mrs. Jones, but our official relations with Guyana could stand to be jeopardized, to the potentially great embarrassment of our State Department. John Stowen, the boy whose actual parents Milk libeled to the president as purveyors of bold-faced lies and blackmail attempts, perished at Jonestown, this young child, five-year-old. This, the only remarkable episode in Milk's brief tenure on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, is swept under the rug by his hagiographers. I'm having a rough time with words today. Sorry, folks. Hagiographers. Golly. Anyway, and we'll spend more time about Milk's dealings with young boys later. I'm just about out of time. This is the man that homosexuals and their allies celebrate and seek to promote as a hero in our taxpayer-subsidized schools. In their effort to exalt Milk as a civil rights hero in public schools to naive young students, the truth about him is concealed. There's even a children's picture book described to indoctrinate little ones entitled The Harvey Milk Story. Public schools are one of the central battlegrounds for the war on moral truth regarding homosexuality. Specious civil rights arguments like the ones promoted by worshippers of Harvey Milk, based on an absurd, untenable comparison of homosexuality to race and media-fomented hysteria about bullying, are driving the exploitation of public education. Well, God bless you. We're going to spend at least one more podcast, maybe two, as we look a little deeper at the truth about Harvey Milk. Thank you. And the movie. God bless you all. Good night.